Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at GoonaGirl1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.
Welcome to another episode of the Highbury Squad. Joining me today is the entire crew, the dream team. I've got my girl, Princess Guna. Say hello to the crew.
Hello.
And I've got Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell, who, let's be honest, Guna fans, yesterday we could have used him to finish a couple of those chances Iwobi and Aubameyang had. Super Kev, hello.
Hi, Sophie. Hi, Amanda. How are you?
That's a good question. That's a really good question.
That's
right?
The question for all Gooners, isn't it?
A bit meh. A bit meh, I think.
All right. Okay, so let's go. Let's start dissecting this. West Ham, Amanda, why don't you just riff and then Kev will riff and then we'll dissect the whole thing. Go.
What do you want me to say? The game that we were supposed to turn up in.
Well, you went, didn't you, Amanda?
Yes, darling. I was sitting in the sky. Now,
you were. Your seats looked like you were getting a nosebleed.
I tell you, I was. And even with my football glasses on, I still had to say to the bloke next to me, who's that? Which one is that? Honestly, that peppermint fucking kit, excuse my language, I feel sick. Even look like I'm washing Arsenal. We didn't turn. I seriously could just do it in 10 seconds flat. We didn't turn up, and when
that's
we
what
did,
I'm saying,
we didn't take our chances, and I have no clue even who we could even put as man of the match for our team. It was meh, it was rubbish, and it was one of the worst performances I've seen. I hate 12:30 kickoffs anyway. The atmosphere's dire. It was slightly rainy, very grey, and naff. And the crowd were quiet. And to be fair, I think West Ham deserved it. And I tell you something, if they'd have had someone in front of goal, they could have scored 4 goals. Easy. So that was my take on it.
Okay, so very cool in a nutshell assessment there from Amanda Super Kev. And where I want to focus on is an area where we haven't really been very critical this season. We know the defence is rubbish. We know we need defenders. We know that somehow they've lost their cohesion again. And we'll get to that. But what I thought was glaring yesterday was the lack of creativity, which is why I can't really criticise Aubameyang and Lacazette too much. Iwobi, I thought, was actually one of our best players yesterday, which is shocking. Guendouzi shows the most energy and effort, but he's not a playmaker. Talk to me as a striker. How would you have felt in that game yesterday? How do you feel like, you know, the service to Aubameyang and then the finishing, which I thought was a little bit poor for Laka and Aubameyang yesterday?
Let's cover everything in a nutshell. You're talking about lack of creativity, and then you're talking about missed chances. So if we're going to get chances, most of the time that's because they've been created, right? Now, we can't have it all our own way. It's either we create or we don't. And if we've created chances but haven't taken them, there isn't a lack of creativity. There's a lack of killer instinct. That's what I believe cost us yesterday at West Ham. Oba and Lacazette usually are lethal, and they never took their chances when it mattered. Because if they did, we would have been ahead, and that then West Ham would have had to come on to us. But we just didn't have a great game in front of goal. Fair enough, West Ham had opportunities as well. But you're playing against West Ham away, and West Ham ain't what they used to be. West Ham are a decent side now. But our problem is we couldn't get it together. And there's talk of Mesut Ozil and all this nonsense. We created enough chances to get something from that game yesterday, but poor finishing. I think we had 3 or 4 one-on-ones. Come on, if you get that away from home, you expect more.
And the chance from Iwobi was an amazing chance. He should have scored that. He knows that he should have scored that as well. So let's touch on that a little bit, because one of the things that was really bugging me yesterday in the game was seeing Nasri boss the midfield. And I don't know if my eyes were different, Amanda, and if you saw anything different in the stadium. And it was really starting to frustrate me as a fan because, yes, I do think we created some chances, but not enough, Kev. And we didn't take – it was a mix of both. Amanda, seeing Nasri boss the midfield the way he did and then thinking about, okay, Ozil hasn't been brilliant and he's not always a guarantee. But in a game like this, he is the kind of player that can make one pass and affect change. What did you think of seeing Nasri play in the way he was playing and in comparison to us really not having that guy on the ball who could do those things?
That's how bad we were that Nasri bossed the midfield. Are you serious? The guy hasn't played for 18 months. I mean, it was embarrassing. And you know what, Sophie, you and I fully agree on Ozil. I put a tweet out 10 seconds before you did and we didn't know it was going to happen. It was made for him. Now, let's just go on to Ozil a second because I'm actually sick of this. It's like Wenger in, Wenger out. I'm sick of this as well as with the Ozil stuff. The club obviously don't want him. That's all I can say, because if he's trained all week and he's not featured in a game like that, that we needed so much creativity, then he's gone, isn't he? He's got to have been gone, because not even to have him on the bench, unless he's injured, I just, look, no one knows anything. I think club don't want him.
Is it the club that don't want him? Is it the club or is it Emery?
I don't know, but I don't think it's Ozil, if I'm honest. I don't think it's him. But look, we don't know. Look, you know, I also think with Emery, we are allowed to criticise his tactics, players' choice, everything. That's what being a football fan is. Doesn't mean we want him out. And that's stupid nonsense, because I'd put a tweet out about that last night. I don't want him out. He has got to be given time to deal with the dross that he's been left. Okay, so forget the defence. Mm. The midfield was worse than the defence yesterday. And it was just terrible. Ozil would be made for a game like that. I know what you're saying, Kev. If we've got chances, then the creativity was there. And I will say this again, and I said it while I was standing with loads of people who don't know me. Aubameyang is like Andy Cole. He needs 10 chances to get one. He needs to be putting these away. I'm sorry. He really, really does. Do you know what? The only really bright spark about yesterday a little bit was Iwobi. Wasn't too bad. When Ramsey came on.
Yeah.
What's going on with Ramsey? We know he's going.
Oh, my God. It's so depressing.
Okay, well, let's just deal with the elephant in the room here, shall we? We know he's going. He's signed for Juve, I suppose, for the summer. Then play him for the next 5 months. The boy's going to play his heart out because he is Arsenal through and through. So, Kev, tell me why Ramsey wasn't on or Ozil didn't play. Because Sophie and I can't understand it. Torreira, I get. He's had a poor couple of games, Soph. And maybe he's a bit fatigued. I don't know. The boy's everywhere. But he hasn't played well.
Xhaka's everywhere without him.
And Guendouzi needs a break. This boy can't play every week. And Kev, tell me what you think. Why Ozil shouldn't have been playing yesterday?
Ozil shouldn't have been playing yesterday because Unai Emery doesn't trust him. Simple as that.
Okay.
He doesn't trust him in the games. It's a London derby. He's got to get physical. And he's already proven he leaves Mesut Ozil out whenever it comes to a physical game.
Okay. Well, hold on, Kev. Hold on 1 second. Sorry.
Forget creativity. He's proved it before. And he's reverted to type then. He leaves him out.
Let me just say one thing, though. Sorry. Okay. Don't start him, Kev. Okay? If you don't think he's up to it. That wasn't a physical match yesterday at all. Put him on the bench.
No, it really wasn't.
And then bring him on at half-time. And we were rubbish, weren't we? I'm not being funny. Can you – I mean, am I exaggerating? It is different watching it on TV than being in the sky. But we look rubbish from where I was. Have him on the bench and bring him on. And then if he doesn't do it, then we're ever right to have a go. But
to me, that's a great solution, because now what do you have? You have an X factor on the bench. Okay. You have a player who can come on and affect the game and make a difference. And our bench yesterday was Bellerin, Ramsey, Torreira, Lichtenstein, Monreal and Nketiah. And, you know, Bellerin, I understand easing him back in. 69th minute, he comes on. Aaron Ramsey, milk everything you can out of the boy, like Amanda said, and like every Arsenal fan knows, we're sending him off to Juventus with love. No one's going to give Ramsey a hard time. No. Every time he comes back, he's going to be applauded and lauded, right? Torreira, I hear what you're saying, Amanda. I think you might be right on that one. in that he needed a rest. And Monreal might, he's not the same player since his injury. Maitland-Niles had a horrific game yesterday. I mean, let's go through this, Kev, so you can kind of weave in and respond to the Ozil, because Amanda ran a poll as well. And most Arsenal fans feel the same way she does and feels the same way I do. And of course, there's a lot of people that want his wage bill off. And they're talking about all these deals that Gazidis and Wenger have done, and they've screwed up the club, and now we can't buy anybody, blah, blah, blah. I'm here in LA. Last night, Stan Kroenke was celebrating. He was sick. The Rams dominated and beat the Cowboys. That stadium was packed. And throughout the broadcast, they're showing all the images of his new stadium. Oh, my God, it looks amazing.
Yeah.
It makes Tottenham Stadium look bush league, to be honest with you.
I watched it. I saw it, yeah.
And Kev, it's like, as an Arsenal fan, you see that 1.4 billion of his own money. He's getting a loan for 2.4 billion to finish the stadium. He's already going to make his money back probably by the time Super Bowl 2022 comes around, they're predicting, because they're hosting the Super Bowl. Actually, I think they're hosting the Super Bowl the year the stadium opens, a little bit like Atlanta did a year later. So yeah. All the riches in the world, but all of his investment and resources is going into the Rams in LA. That whole area is going to be, it's like Wembley Stadium, concerts, events, you name it. I feel like we're going to play in there one day on a tour. They're going to bring Arsenal here and it's going to be the whole hoopla. But are you telling me, right, that if Ozil's not your guy, you can't give Emery some chunk of change to go and buy a guy in January, or, and we have to look at loans and installments and stuff like that. Meanwhile, Arsenal fans are all over the internet and voting on Amanda's poll. You know, what was the result, Amanda?
Okay, I'm going to go and tell you right now. I think what we put out was basically, I want your thoughts on, do we need Ozil back in the team, yes or no? And 563 votes. Yes, 82%. No, 18%. That's over 550 people have voted generally in favour of yes. I think we needed him yesterday. To me, it's pretty simple. I work in black and white. To me, I just don't get it.
Yeah, a lot of the time when the team loses, it's easy to make that decision after the fact. But the fact of the matter is this. It's been proven beforehand that Unai Emery doesn't trust Mesut Ozil. He's done it at Bournemouth. He's done it at other places. He's done it at Crystal Palace where he's dragged him off. He doesn't trust him, right? So I understand after the event losing, yeah, everyone could say we could have done with Mesut Ozil, but Mesut Ozil's been in there before and not done it. So let's have it right.
Yeah, but when you look at his stats...
Can I finish?
Sure, yeah.
Just let me finish. We are having, I am sick and tired of having this conversation about Mesut Ozil, our so-called best player. Think about it. It's 4 years we're discussing the same crap. 4 years. Mm. If he was that good, we shouldn't even be having this conversation about, is he this or is he that? Come on, guys. This is crazy.
All right, that's fair enough. We shouldn't be having this conversation after 4 years. You're absolutely 100% right, Kev. But with that said, and Emery has identified very early on this season that Ozil is not his guy. So with that said, Amanda, why can't the club give Emery some type of resources to be able to start infusing a few more players to help him along the way with his project, right? We've seen Torreira come in. We've seen Babastalopoulos come in. And we've seen, I'm missing one, Leno come in. Okay.
And
Guendouzi. All right. Pretty good signing so far with a lot of hope, I think. You know, Guendouzi's got a bit to go and stuff. But why I don't know if it's a charade and it's kind of like they're playing poker with us. Why? Why are we not? Why is Emery saying in a press conference in the first week of the transfer window, we got nothing? Amanda, we got nothing.
I think it's not to do with that. I think it's the FFP rules or whatever you call them. And I've been reading up about this and, you know, I'm not sure he actually should have said what he said. But I just want to quickly go back to, sorry, because I know my signal was bad. I know what you're saying, Kev. That would be a higher result for him to be in because we lost. But put him in, and then if we do lose, then we can talk about his situation at Arsenal. I don't know why he wasn't on the bench. That was my point. Let's go back to Emery, is the fact that I don't think he should have said what he said because it's caused ructions everywhere. It's caused social media to go into meltdown. And if at the moment he's got to get players off the wage bill, then that's what he's got to do. I think it is to do with that. But I do think it's to do with what we were left with. Gazidis and Wenger gave bloody big contracts to...
Thank you.
But how is it we have FFP issues over, like, you know, I mean, Manchester City, Chelsea?
Because it's worked different. Because it's not... They've done it in a different way and it has not affected FFP. So we've done it in a way where our wage bill is too high. And I don't know if Kev's agreeing with me. I don't know what that thank you was about. But it's to do with what's happened previous with six or seven players that need to be shipped out. Maybe by the summer we'll have a better transfer window, but I don't think January is going to be anything to look at. It's like, you know, like when...
Can I just add to that?
Yeah, of course.
Amanda, you are right. It is FFP. And it don't matter. People are having a go at Stan Kroenke. Let's have it real right here. Because what's gone on is this. The past regime have used up the wages. The allowance that's for the wages have been used up, okay? The likes of Man City and Chelsea, fair enough, they've used up theirs in this time. So maybe they're not buying because they've got the squads. Liverpool have got the squad. Man City have got the squad. Chelsea have got the squad. Now we're talking about Arsenal here. Different one is Spurs. They keep upgrading their contracts regular, as you notice. But Arsenal, Stan Kroenke could want to invest 250 million tomorrow. Arsenal cannot go and sign anybody. It's not that they don't have that money. It's the wages. They cannot add to that wage bill.
Because he's the owner. He allowed it.
No, it's not. He's put people in charge of the business and the business was run poorly.
As an owner, it's his job that his business is run properly.
All culpable. Then that's why they got, remember, Miss Lintat and Sanelli, Wenger never wanted them in. He's resisted directors of football for years. Then all of a sudden, these two guys come in. I wonder why. They've found out what was going on in the background. That's why Gazidis is gone. That's why Wenger's gone. I've got to tell it. And that is the truth. And now Unai Emery is having to operate with two hands behind his back because of the past regime. And that ain't having a go at Wenger because Wenger was our greatest manager. But the running of the transfer policy at Arsenal is an absolute disgrace. It's ridiculous.
And we're
We're letting people like Ramsey, fair enough, he's leaving the club, go for nothing. This is the issue. We're letting people at the peak, players at the peak of their powers, leave the football club for nothing. That is not good business at all.
I'm going to use that one in a soundbite, I think. Well done, Super Kev. If I had the bell here, I would ring it. Hold on. Where is it?
Ring it.
I found the bugger. No, I mean, you have even encapsulated it beautifully. And I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit here. And you say Emery's got two hands behind his back. But Amanda and I kind of agree in the last couple of weeks. We feel for him. He's inherited an absolute mess. We've said that from the start of the season. But Amanda and Kev, would you agree that he's made a couple of, yes, we've had injuries, but he's made a couple of dodgy decisions when it comes to the teams we're playing and who he's selecting, even though we have injuries. Amanda, would you agree or disagree with that?
Last couple of matches, I would agree. But I'm not a football manager. I just sit there and go, why is he not playing? He may have his reasons. He may have looked at West Ham. He may have looked at the teams that we're going to play and just has his way. He's only been with us 6 months, you know, and, you know, really weirdly back in the 80s, we didn't have social media. And if a manager came in and picked a team, we'd just discuss it and go home. But he's so like with Sky Sports and BT Sport, it's so deeply analysed, every single thing, every single player, that managers are they're human, they are going to get things wrong. I'm fully behind him, 100%. Mm. I want to give him a chance. I'd like to give him a couple of seasons, if I'm honest. And what Kev said is right, going back to the FFP, 100%. The only thing I just disagree with was when you said, this is not me blaming Wenger. Oh, this is me blaming Wenger. So I don't care if they all come at me. Because he's given average players huge wages and it's caused this. But anyway, moving on. Emery has got a ship that is destabilised and he needs to sort it out. And it's not fair because he's got no funds to do it because of past situations. People need to support him 100%.
Yeah, I think we do. And I think most Arsenal fans do. And I think some of the rhetoric of the Emery out is completely ridiculous, immature and premature. And I don't think, you know, you, Kev, or I want to pay attention to that. But yes, I think he needs to be very careful going forward because he doesn't want to start losing the fans who are really behind him. And what we've seen, you know, Kev, is, you know, when there's, I feel like we're in the Manchester United situation now, and there's a massive game coming up between them and the enemy. And I really wanted to get your take on this. But now we're in a situation where Chelsea have created the gap and Man United could catch us today. What are your thoughts on Man United, who were ridiculed the entire season for having one of the worst seasons ever, turmoil? They turn it around with a change, and I'm not saying we're going to change, but you know, sometimes change does create a different positive vibe. Are you rooting for Man United to win today against Spurs to stall Spurs' title race? Or are you rooting for Man United to lose so they don't catch us? Where are you at with that, Kev?
Look, I'm an Arsenal fan and I don't ever want Spurs to win. So I want Man United to win the game today. Listen, we're messing it up ourselves. It's nothing to do with Manchester United. We just ain't produced the goods. We're not beating Brighton away. We're not beating other teams. So we don't deserve. And if they catch us, they catch us because we've been poor. So look, I don't look at it like a lot of other fans, you know, to try and keep this top four position. We are going to finish where we deserve to be. And at the moment, we haven't been good enough. A lot of these players who are in the squad weren't good enough to finish fourth. Last season, we finished sixth or fifth last season. So, you know, whatever it is, it is. I want Manchester United to beat Tottenham, definitely.
I do too. I want them to beat them and I want them to quiet the chaos and the noise going on over there in North London on the other side. Amanda, where are you at?
Okay, so all week, I mean, Kev and I discussed it on the last pod. But all week I've been umming and ahhing, and I was talking to a few people about this. And as you know, I wouldn't want Spurs to win a throw-in, let alone a match. But I need to look at what's going to benefit Arsenal and our momentum, because our momentum's on the floor at the moment, isn't it? And basically what I would say is, I think we're in a win-win, lose-lose situation today. Do we care if we end up fifth or sixth? Does it matter Europa League-wise? Do we have to qualify? I don't know. But my heart says I want Man United to win 5-0 with five red cards and Harry Kane sent off a dive in and God knows what else. Yeah, that's what my heart says. But my head is like, do we want United to overtake us? Well, how's that going to affect us? Because the media are going to go, well, Arsenal are sick now and there's trouble with Ozil. And we got Chelsea Saturday night. Massive game for us. This is massive, actually. So my head is like a draw. I don't ever want Tottenham to win. My heart is like, let United win and obviously then Liverpool and City can run away with the league because we can't have them winning it. I don't know. I'm sort of like, I desperately want United to win, but there's a but, if you know what I mean.
No, I totally understand. It's a bit of a pickle and it's a bit sad when we're kind of, I don't want us to become that club that have to look over their shoulder at what everyone else. And we kind of have, you know, for the last two or three seasons, just praying and rooting. Spurs don't win anything. You know, for the last three seasons, we're kind of willing other things. And we've been a club that are used to, you know, playing good football, winning. Even through the barren seasons when we did the three FA Cups in 4 years, it gave us something to cheer about. And I'm not saying we should panic right now. And I think everyone needs to just take a deep breath and look at, you know, we're either going to end up being like Man United or Liverpool, right? And I compare us to those two teams. Would you agree, guys? Because since Sir Alex Ferguson left, legendary manager, they had struggled. That could be us, Right, Kev? There's nothing in the rule book that says that couldn't be us until we find the right guy or Emery becomes the right guy.
I think we are struggling whether we like it or not. We went on a 22-game unbeaten run, which was fantastic for all morale. It was good for Emery, but we knew there were problems within the squad. We knew that. So over the course of the season, it is going to get magnified. And that's what is happening now. It's getting magnified. The squad's getting stretched at times. And we're just not good enough. So whether we don't make the top four, I don't think we will now. I think because there's better teams than us. Man United are a better squad than us. Now they've got a manager who they're going to play for. So the writing's on the wall for us.
Amanda, do you feel that, you know, we can be as quick to recover as maybe Liverpool? Liverpool have had and promised so much, but their issue has always been the back, right? Then they got Virgil van Dijk and they got Alisson. And Klopp has turned it around pretty quickly, but it's taken him maybe, you know, three seasons to get here to find these pieces. But the last piece was always the weakest and what people ridiculed them about in the media as well. And that was their defense. Can you see us pulling something like that? Should we be able to go out into the marketplace and buy that type of defensive player? But do we have to win Europa League and be in Champions League in order to be able to do that?
I think if we come fifth, win the Europa League, maybe the FA Cup, and he's given some money, you know, big personnel change in July. I think obviously, yes, that's what we need. You know, we need a Virgil van Dijk without any shadow of a doubt. I think that would all come together if we had a bit of confidence at the back. I think that would help Socrates as well, which I don't think is a bad player, who I don't think is bad. I think we've got a lot of changes that need to be made. I think the next 5 months is just trying to stay in it, if I'm honest. It's just trying our best with what we've got. But we need that. We definitely need the Tony Adams, the Sol Campbell. We need somebody there, yeah.
All right. So our next game is Arsenal v Chelsea. And it's come pretty quickly. It's a massive game. They're all massive now, but this is really big just because of where we both are in the league. Prediction time, Highbury squad. Ooh, I can't wait to hear what you
think. Oh, no.
Up your sleeves. All right. Super Kev always gets his prediction video in first, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, always organized. Are you wearing a bow tie right now, Kev? Are you wearing a bow tie?
Not a Thursday, so no.
Okay. All right. Tuesday. It's not Tuesday.
No.
Do you do it Tuesdays and Thursdays?
No, it's only Thursdays. Think you both Thursday.
All right. So what's your prediction, Kev? What do you see in this game?
I'm still going to go positive. I am. I'm going to go positive. I'm going to go Arsenal going to win the game 2-1. Don't
we
ask me how. I'm just saying, because we're at home. It's because we're at home.
Yes. And we've done okay again. Well, since Mourinho's left anyway. Wenger kind of had Conte's number, didn't he? He really did while he was Chelsea manager. Amanda, here she goes. Oh, are you going to be brave? Are you going to go with your heart or your head? Are you going to put it out there again like you did against Liverpool? Or are you feeling a little bit more lucky, PG?
I don't do it because I want to be right. I don't do it for that reason. I just knew 1,000,000% we wouldn't get anything at Liverpool. I predicted a draw yesterday. Chelsea.
I know.
No.
Did you see him play yesterday against Newcastle? They've got a lot of vulnerabilities, that team, and they've got no striker. And when Hazard plays that role, Kev, don't you think that they are much weaker when it comes to opportunities and stuff like that, which is why someone like – I would rather Pedro didn't play because I love him. I think he always is a nuisance and you always have to keep your eye on that guy. Makes such amazing runs. But, yeah, Amanda, go on. Get it. Put it on the line. Get it.
5:30 under the Emirates lights is going to be a great atmosphere. It's going to be a lot better than that crap yesterday at 12:30. Chelsea on.
And I'm pit side, by the way.
Yes, we'll be seeing each other, young man. I don't think.
Oh, she's cutting out again. I mean, I don't know. Is she in some exotic location, Kev? I mean, I'm starting not to believe.
She could be on the beach.
Right, let me get my prediction.
Because Amanda always has the best sound.
I know.
Of anyone.
I don't think it's anything to do with anything. I just think it's a bad signal. Can you hear me now or not?
Give us your prediction.
Okay. I think we're going to win 3-1.
What?
Well done, Amanda.
I know, and I actually believe that. It's not something, because you know I always stand by what I say. I think we are, because I don't think they're great up front. I think we're going to be coming out like we did against Spurs, if I'm honest. And I do think we won't definitely keep a clean sheet, but I'm going 3-1.
All right, nice. So we got Kev's 2-1, we got Amanda's 3-1, and I'm going to go for a 3-2. I think we're going to bounce back in this game. I think this is a really good situation, guys, to show what he does during the week and if he can get through to the players in terms of the magnitude of the occasion, you know, and will they respond to him? I think it's a very big week for Arsenal Football Club, and I think we have to win this game, and I'm hoping that we can. And yeah, you know, Chelsea aren't that great either. There's a long way to go yet, but it's getting to that time of year where we falter a little bit. You know, February, March is coming up, and I hope that old mentality doesn't set in here with Emery's team as well. Right then, what else is on the agenda? Are we done? Are we out? We're going to go watch the big game with our fingers crossed and eyes crossed.
What do you think the score's going to be?
Look, I think Manchester United old Spurs, because of what Spurs done to them at OT when they were in the doldrums. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it was 3-0, wasn't it? They beat them.
Yep, they did. They spanked them.
Yeah, they spanked them, and I'm sure that's been mentioned. I can guarantee you that one.
And Solskjaer's different, isn't he? Solskjaer knows. He's played in these games. It's like, that's the difference. I think this is their first biggest test since he's come on. I think they've had some easy games, a little bit like us in our unbeaten run, masked some problems perhaps. So now we're going to see the evolution of Man United under Solskjaer. He's had a good few weeks now. This is his fifth game or something. They're playing at Wembley. Spurs have gotten really comfortable there. They should be fined left, right and centre for all the bullshit they've done this year with their stadium.
Yeah, fancy that's Man amazing, United. Actually,
Solskjaer. Isn't it, Kev?
It's amazing. Nothing's been mentioned.
It's because it's
nothing.
Them. It's because it's them. Gets on my nerves.
Joke. Absolute joke. Sorry for that.
No. I do it to you all the time, Kev. So it's about time you paid me back. Come on. Right.
I think it's going to be a draw today. I do. I think,
do you?
I think.
What, like a 2-2?
No, 1-1. 1-1 today.
Well, look, you go back to your tropical beach. We don't believe that you're somewhere in, you know, Essex.
Essex.
I'm going to apologise
now. I don't believe that.
Come on.
I'm in the beautiful grey Essex today.
Well, look, always great chatting to you guys. Get stuck in, Gooners. You know where you can find us at Highbury Squad on Twitter. That's where most of our conversations happen. Got some good stuff coming up, some big games. Stick with us. And as Amanda always says,
always Arsenal.